Welcome to the Olivet Discourses from the Olivet Baptist Church, the Biblical Alternative. I'm Mark Ramsey. The focus of this program is to discuss the issues that affect the life of every human being. While using the Bible as our guide and foundation, we hope that you'll be stimulated by the topics of conversation and willing to apply what you've learned to your life. These discussions might make you change your entire way of thinking and living. Let's begin. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark, and welcome to the Olivet Discourses, the Biblical Alternative, here live on KKLA 99.5 FM, the talk of Los Angeles. Thank you for joining me for the next 2 hours. Last week, we reviewed a book that came out in our community, a book by Dr. Kenneth C. Omer. Kenny, you're probably listening tonight. Fortunately, I'm not going to go through the book tonight. I'll continue with that next week because we have an in-studio guest with us, but the name of the book is Experience, A Move of God in a New Thing. I was not critical of that text, rather I was quoting certain aspects of the text, and many of you thought it wise to contact the radio station. First of all, whenever you contact the radio station with floods of telephone calls, sometimes they think that Pastor John has done something wrong. I wasn't doing anything wrong, folk. It's called free speech. I'm going to give you the number to the vet because we want you to call me. If you hear something on the discourses that you don't like, call me. You can tell me to my face. You can cuss me out over the church phone. I don't even care. Call me. But to call a dearly beloved radio station that allows us the opportunity to do the discourses because you don't like what a man wrote in a book that I read to you, I think you need to contact me personally. I think that it's not only degrading to call a radio station to try to tell them that I should be off the air instead of dealing with me personally about the statements and the words that I make. I retract nothing that I said about this treatise. I think that you folk that have a brain need to buy it and read it and make up your own minds. And I think that one of the problems with us in the church today is that we don't think that we allow other people to think for us. If you contacted someone in your ministry about this text and they told you to call the radio studio, that's only for one reason. That's to get me off the air. As long as I'm paying these people money and I follow FCC rules, I will be on the air. And I want you folk, as you listen to the discourses, to deal with the tension on what's going on in the church today. And that brings us to our guest. I've known Jesse for a little while, a little over a year. I've appeared on the Jesse Peterson Show. He has public access shows, and let me give a little bit of background. He is the president and the CEO of BOND, B-O-N-D, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Now, Jesse and I totally agree that our community, especially in the minority community, African-American and Hispanic also, because that's where we're dealing from, is in bad shape because there's no men in the home. There's no men running the community. We've turned over the government, our schools, our churches, God forbid, to women. Women are running everything. We think like women. We're all feminized. We don't know how to be men. I and Jesse are in total agreement on what's wrong in our society and in our culture. Jesse, welcome to the Olivet Discourses. Good to have you here with us
tonight.
Thank
you. I appreciate you having me on.
Jesse, tell us a little bit about your background so that our radio audience can know who they're listening to.
Well, I've been in Los Angeles since 1968. I moved here from from Alabama.
Okay.
And up until about the age of 37, I just kind of was out there, you know, looking for the truth.
Okay.
I didn't have a father in my home to raise me. I was raised by my mother and my grandmother. And as a result of that, I didn't know how to really deal with life in a proper manner. I was very insecure. Subject to women, mm-hmm. you know, would have sex out of wedlock. It didn't matter.
Right.
I didn't know how to deal with the issues of life in the proper manner, so I began to look around for the answers, and I went to every major church in this city, including...
you can mention them.
Fred Price's church, okay. Crenshaw Christian Center, right. West Angeles, all the churches around here, and I discovered that they don't have the answer there. They didn't have the answers.
So you're very well known in these large churches. In other words, if some of the people are listening to the discourses tonight, they may know who you are.
Yes,
indeed.
Yes, indeed. And so, you know, so I fumbled around in life until about 37. And one day I was sitting in my prayer closet, not asking anything of God this time, because most of the time when I went to pray, I was always whipping and whining and begging, you know, give
sure.
me a car, give me something,
right.
do this for me and do that.
Right.
And then I had gone to some of the churches where they had said, you're supposed to pray in other tongues.
Yes.
And then I found that doesn't work either because, you know, I did
right.
that and it
right.
didn't work. And so one day I was just sitting in my prayer closet, not asking anything, and all of a sudden I realized that what was holding me back in my life is that I had resentment for my father. And I resented him because he had not been there for me. But whenever the father's not there for you, whether
right.
black or white, male or female,
yes.
it causes you to fall.
Sure.
You fall away from grace because most of the time when the mother's in charge of your life, she's very angry about it. You know, you shut up, you're just like your dad, you'll never be any good. This kind of controlling your life, putting fear
sure.
into you.
Sure.
And especially black women. White women are like that too, but especially black women.
Now, you found that, you see, that's one of the reasons why, Jesse, why I ask you on the show. Because you make some very bold and daring statements. You were making a statement a couple of weeks ago on your public access television presentation. That was the show, and I only viewed part one. But you were sitting on the stage there, and you were supposed to invite some questions from the audience. But you, like me, get going, and, you know, we just let the time
on
Zoom. But... You were, the reason that I ask you on the discourse is because you had a very low estimate of the church, and especially the church in South Central. I not only found that quite disturbing, it offended me somewhat because I'm saying, wait, Jesse knows me. I mean, did he put me in the group with, you know, all these other clowns, what they're doing out there? And then I also thought, I said, he cannot possibly... No, 98, no, not even 50% of all the ministers in this town that are working with the people. So basically what I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of like piggyback off of that and have a discussion.
Yeah.
Why your harsh, and listen to whom it's coming from, because many people that listen to the discourses think that I'm just as harsh as you are.
Yeah.
See, and so, you know, here, you know, the donkey's talking to the donkey, you know. But why those harsh statements about especially the African-American church today?
Yeah. You know, what I find is that, and what I said on my show is that, I believe I'm probably saying 99.9% of black...
That's exactly what you said.
Yeah, of black ministers are not called
by
God.
Right.
But they're called by their mothers.
Absolutely.
You know, they're really wimps.
Mm.
They can't deal with life, and
right.
so the next thing to do is become a preacher.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, see, and I love that statement, but I'm saying, I mean, 99.9%...
Well, I realize that 99.9% is a large number.
Man, that's almost all-inclusive.
Yeah.
Now, what that did... What that did when I viewed it on television, I said, wait, Jesse, wait a minute, man, you can't say that. And then the camera
yeah.
kind of went on the folk in the audience, and the young folk was, you know, kind of looking, what? Now, Jesse, how can, and I can understand your passion that you have for the community, just as it, you know, just like I have, but I can't say such a large number
yeah.
like that.
You know, I do know you, and I haven't heard one of your church services. I have had you on my show a lot.
I come on every on your same station every Sunday night at 8:30.
Oh, okay. And I believe that you mean well, and I admire, amongst all the preachers that are out there, I admire you a lot. I have a lot of respect for what you're doing. But what I notice is that, see, black people have been made to respect preachers just because they wear the title preacher. It
right.
doesn't matter if they're screwing the neighbor or screwing your daughter,
right.
Or if they're married and they're cheating. It
but
doesn't
whose
matter.
Fault is that? Whose fault is
it's
that?
It's your father's fault. It's your parents' fault because as children, if we as fathers taught our
but
children who to respect and who...
But isn't it not a fact that, does it appear that you have chosen the church to vent your frustrations?
No, it's just that, you know, I remember in the Bible, I read the Bible once, and Jesus Christ called and preach as hypocrites and Pharisees.
Yes.
And bag of bones and dogs and that kind of thing.
Well,
and that's what we have in our community today all across the country.
Okay.
Those preachers are just that.
There will always be, just like you have practitioners of medicine,
yeah.
practitioners of the arts and language and education, you have bums in those
yeah.
occupations. You also have bums in the so-called Christian
that's right.
or pastoral occupations.
But see, what we have to realize, we got to wake the black people up to this because they are following these people.
But do we wake our people up by painting with such a broad stroke? I mean, that
well, well, you I realize that 99.9% is a lie percentage.
Well, can we get a little bit more closer to what it is? Let's say that you're painting with a more, you know, lesser broad stroke. Okay, let's say, okay, Pastor John, I know you. I am one,
yeah.
I believe, Jesse, of many, since we're talking about African-American, I am one of many fine, decent African-American pastors in South Central.
I do have to admit, I believe that you are one of the most well-meaning ministers that there are in the black community. I think that the others are hypocrites.
You will not bend at all, will you, Jesse?
Well, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Come on.
Will you, first of all, the average minister would tell you that when you become a minister, if you are called by God,
yes.
then you have to go to school. You know, they have all these minister schools and things like that.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
They have to go to school and be taught
all right.
how to be ministers.
Can I please?
Let me just make the statement.
Okay.
They have to be taught the Bible. They have to be taught how to teach, and they have to be taught all this.
All right.
And I know that's a lie. I know it without a doubt.
Of course that's a lie.
Because if God calls you,
yeah.
he's also going to prepare you.
Yes.
And when he sends you out to teach, to wake up the people, he also gives you the words to say to the people that will cause the people to wake up. You don't have to look to man if he's calling you.
I humbly respect that opinion, but in my humble opinion, I would say this, that if I felt a call for chiropractic, I would have to go to school. If I felt a call for...
But that's not a good example.
No. I'm just saying that professionals do things and so that they might become the best as a professional.
Right.
First of all, before I was called as a preacher to preach, I had gained one degree, and then after I was called to preach, I gained two more. So
mm-hmm.
I was in school before I was called to preach.
Yeah.
I've never put a premium on ignorance. I don't think that the call into the ministry is why someone should get into school.
Well, why is it necessary to go to school if you've been called by God?
It is not necessary.
Well, why do most people do that?
Let me tell you why I went to seminary. The reason that I went to seminary is because I did not want to make... Now, this is what I'm going to... I didn't want to make... mistake that you made on that show.
What was that?
Because you quoted a scripture, and that scripture was not even found in the Bible.
What was that?
If you look at the tape, I think you said something like, and I didn't write it down, but I think you said something like, something 3 John chapter 11 or something like that, and I said, there is no, you know. And so I'm saying, Jesse,
what was I referring to?
You were referring to a scripture that preachers use, but you misquoted the scripture. And I said, at that point, I said, that's why it's important for us as ministers. And Jesse, you did have a background as being a minister, right?
Yeah, I don't have a background as being one. I am one.
Okay.
Of recent.
Not ordained by any denomination or any group of men.
No, sir.
Just ordained by God.
Yes, sir.
Just ordained by God.
That's all I need.
Oh, okay. All
yeah.
right. I'm not going to argue with
yeah.
that because we have many of those in our community,
yeah.
and I would be a fool to try to argue a man out of his calling.
Yeah. I wish I knew the scripture that you
referred to. Yeah, I wish I had written it
but
down.
But one thing I do want to tell you for sure,
yes.
and without a doubt in my heart,
yes.
is that if you're called by God,
yes.
you don't need a man to teach you. That's without a doubt.
All right.
But yet, most of these black ministers, many of them, go to school.
Thank you.
You know, they go to school. And the reason they go to school is because they have not been called by God. They're out there on their own because they can't deal with life. And they know that we as black people have been brainwashed that if you set up a church, we're going to go. And then we go to church and we don't change.
All right.
Our families are screwed up. Our kids are on dope. They're having sex out of wedlock. Their husbands are gone. The wives are mean
you
and
got
absent.
A lot of, Jesse,
it's not changing.
You've
and
got
yet,
a lot of issues. You've
and
got
yet,
a lot
people,
of
don't
issues.
Want to, people don't want to, especially black people, they don't want to look at what is wrong. And you
yes.
know why? Because they have been told not to question the preacher and don't question God.
All
I
right.
did that with Fred Price
Listen.
Once. I remember, I wanted to know...
You've got to let me respond.
Okay.
I mean, this is the discourses. I mean, that
yeah.
means an open discussion. And so let me, you know, before you get into it... You know, just let me say this right now. I have no respect for the ministry that you just mentioned because it is one of the most unbiblical things that I've ever heard of in my entire life. quite as kept as heresy. But anyhow, I have no respect for people like that and, you know, what they do to people in our community. I've never had respect for people like that, and I never will. I think that you're right. The ministry has been a hellhole for pimps for years in our community, and I would not deny that. Now, I'm just saying that I'm no pimp, and I know a lot of other people, two of the men that I mentioned that's going to be fellowshipping with us, nor are they pimps. And so, you see, I'm saying that I know that there's many others out there that are very legitimate, but let me...
You're about the only one I know...
you don't know very many men.
I know a lot of preachers, but you're about the only one I know that is bold enough to speak up about the churches that are wrong. Most of them won't even say anything about it.
Of course, because they're running with the pimp crowd, and so you know they're not going to speak up. But you've always had that. That's nothing new. Our community has always been flooded with that. Why can't we focus? There was a dear lady that used to call us on the show because she thought I was a tyrant before, and let's take this first call and see what Jim's talking about from Venice. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Pastor John. How you doing?
Doing real fine, brother. What's up?
Thanks, Jesse, for speaking out. I have to agree with him. He's pretty much right. Most pastors aren't willing to speak out. I know you're talking about Harley and stuff. You guys are hardcore, right on, good teachers seeking out the truth. But most people will just shut up about it and let the flocks be misled rather than speak up and face the wrath of the church. But I had a question. In the scriptures, Paul says, "Model your life after me as I model my life after Christ."
Yes.
Why don't we see more men in the church willing to stand up and make that statement about themselves?
Great. Well, you have that because if the leader doesn't teach discipline in the church, it's simply because he refuses to be disciplined. I was thumbing through a book called The Making of a Leader, and in this text it has here leaders are afraid to discipline members of their congregations for various reasons. Some of the reasons are, and I'll just mention a couple. If he has undisciplined children in his own home, he may feel that he cannot discipline others. A lot of these preachers have children and people living in their homes, not only selling dope, doing some of the things that Jesse said doing, and all these other things. Now, how can he correct anyone else in the church? Second point, he may have unconfessed sin in his own life. In other words, if the preacher's a chump, do you think that he's going to tell the other folks that they shouldn't be chump? He's just going to keep them jumping, dancing, and singing and hollering.
You know, exactly. You know, bothers me that more often than not they're saying, "Well, I sin every day. I'm just like you. I sin every day." And I think, "Gee, you sin every day? That doesn't sound like model your life after me as I model my life after
Christ." No, that's called bragging and making excuses for disobedience. Jesse?
You know, another thing, too, is that we have a society today where most people don't want to hear the truth. And a lot of these preachers know that if they should correct the people in the church, that they won't come back.
And bring
the
money.
So a lot of preachers are willing to sacrifice the soul of the person for the money, so that they can build these big churches, so they really don't give a damn about the people.
Right. Listen, thanks for your call, Jim.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
You know, can I comment on the church, about this whole idea of the church?
Well, only if you make me one promise.
What's that?
And that you won't use derogatory language on the discourses.
Oh, like what?
A damn.
Oh, that's derogatory?
Yeah, that's a derogatory term on a Christian show.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We can't sit out there. I won't let you give
that.
A darn or something.
Okay.
But we have some very conservative Christians listening to the show, and some of them send money for the ministry. So, no, but go ahead.
Let me just say, there's too much emphasis being placed on going to church. We have...
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, we have brain...
Wait a minute. What am I going to do with Hebrews chapter 11 and 25, where it says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves?
I'm going to explain that.
No, well, I mean, I don't need it explained.
But I will, though.
Go ahead.
We have brainwashed the people to believe that if they didn't go to church, somehow or another, they're not going to find God.
Well,
we have brainwashed them to believe that only the preacher knows how to find God.
You're a very interesting man. No, I've got to cut in on you here. You're a very interesting man. You have a way of making these statements. Let me come back to what you were saying earlier.
Okay,
earlier about your calling, and because I'm going to get called on the carpet if I don't deal with this going to school thing. First of all, let me say, if a man is called by God, it is not mandatory for him to go to school to get any kind of credentials or papers to pastor or lead a church.
Not at all.
Now, let me say this. Let me say this. If a man is living in a city like Los Angeles, and he is called as a shepherd by God to lead people, there are various levels of individuals' ability to understand, to discern, and in teaching and guiding or shepherding, the shepherd, I believe, in my opinion, must have some type of professional training in dealing with people, because God is not going to give you that through osmosis.
Yes, he will.
Now, you and I are going to agree to disagree on that, because, Jesse, I'm 52. How old are you?
47.
All right. Jesse?
You don't look like you're that old.
Well, what do you want me to say? I can't help that.
I'm 52.
I'm 52.
Wow.
And in my 52 years, I have never gotten anything through God through osmosis, but the Holy Spirit working in my life, giving me spiritual discernment of a word that must be properly exegeted and then taught to people. My fault with the church and my community is that they claim, that is the leaders, claim to be speaking for God, and God has never said it. So what school does, school qualifies that what the preacher says God has said, has said. That is why school is important to me. Because
who is
not
teaching and preach at school that is teaching you?
No, it isn't that he's teaching me how to teach. What he is teaching me is various principles of theology.
Well, who taught him that?
Well, I will answer this question by saying this. That this book that I'm holding in my hand, and you folk on radio can't see it, was not written in English. All right, I know that the book that I usually work through is transliterated from the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And so, therefore, the individuals that are scholars, quote-unquote, scholars in language.
The worst kind, scum of the earth.
Well, that's your opinion.
You, the scum of the earth.
Well, I am a scholar, and I don't think that I'm scum.
Let me ask you this. Who is teaching the scholar that is teaching you?
Okay, let me answer the question. Another scholar who is godly and led by God. It all boils down to the first person that wrote the text. In other words, if we look at...
But the first person who wrote the text is not around.
In just a second, but the word is around. In other words, there is a principle. There is a principle. Okay, I'll look up. There is a principle in homiletics that teaches that whenever you teach something from the Scripture, the preacher has to be able to carry it from the first century, okay, across 20 centuries, and so that the person that reads it will understand exactly what it meant within the culture that it meant in the first century.
But you still have to know that that person is right. And how would you know that he's right?
You know that it's right.
How?
I'm going to answer it by practicing. See, because you would not let me answer this when I was on your show. By practicing the simple lessons of exegetical hermeneutics and other theological
But see, that's not true. You can't know.
You can't tell me it's not true when I studied it. How dare you say that I don't know what's true? Jesse, you're just painting me with
such a... You can't know that it's right.
I can know. You can know.
Because a lot of people can think that they know what's right and live it.
Jesse, you cannot think.
You can't live it that way.
Listen, all right, well, let's go to our caller. You see, we're going to see. That's why...
Because a lot of people try to live it that way, and yet they're screwed up. Why is it working?
We are not... Listen. When you look at the church today, I will be in total agreement with you that the church is screwed up. And they are screwed up because they have not learned to discern on their own. Vince from Long Beach, say hello to Mr. Peterson.
Hello, Mr. Peterson. I must say that your comments sound like one who is anti-education and anti-scholarly.
Yeah. And you're right, I am anti-education.
I take a little offense. If you would just give me a moment, I'm going to make a few comments and give you some time to rebuke my comment.
Okay.
But as a former seminarian who feels that he was called by God and who feels that with that calling I needed to get an education, so I put myself in the position to attend Dallas Seminary, I really take offense at the fact that you don't think that once a man is called by God, he needs to be taught by another man. My question for you is, do you think that Apostle Paul was called by God?
In his reading, yes, I believe that he was.
So, do you think the Apostle Paul needed to be taught by another man?
No.
then why would, did he spend 3 years?
Let me ask you this.
No.
On the discourses, you are not allowed to ask the person that calls to ask you the question. You're only allowed
to answer.
Why did Paul spend, why did he have to wait till he was, had, you know, get his anointing from Ananias? Why was he there 3 years in Arabia before he went to Jerusalem to do his ministry? Paul spent 3 years getting educated in the principles of Christian doctrine. You know, I mean, you have example after example in Scripture of godly men who are used to train other godly men. And for you to make the statements that you're making that are anti-church, anti-scholarly, it's only apparent that you have, you're really in need of an education. Because if you cannot go to the Greek text, to the Hebrew text, you're missing some things from the true doctrine of the Christian faith. In the Bible.
All right. Well, Vince, you gotta let you gotta let Mr. Peterson answer something here. Come on. Come on, Jesse.
All right.
So Vince, your question is about Paul. The one thing that I read about him is that he was an educated man. But when Paul came into the understanding of God, he realized that his education was nothing.
Right.
It was nothing.
Exactly.
Because he began to drop his education and follow the light, the truth that within him.
Oh, Jesse.
And that's what,
Let me finish.
He didn't drop his education, so he spent three more years getting Christian education. He was educated as a Pharisee in the law, but he spent another 3 years getting educated on how best to minister to the Gentile church.
All right, and so therefore, Jesse, what we found from our caller, Vince, because the phones are burning off. Hey, Vince, thanks for your call, buddy.
Okay, Pastor.
God bless you, man.
Let me say this to you. Whenever we're dealing with Christians, they are not going to let you talk. They like to, because they
wait a minute, Jesse.
Let me finish my statement. This Christian was arguing apologetically, but I wanted to respond to him.
But you see, it's not important to respond. You're in total disagreement.
I need you to say that, at least.
He's heard it. That's why he called.
He has not heard it.
Well, let's see.
Let me just say, Christians, Bible-toting, tongue-talking folks, they just want to talk over
you. You don't know this man.
Because they don't want to hear the truth.
How can you call this
but
man a tongue-toting?
As a host, I'm asking you to at least give me the opportunity to respond to that question.
I have to say this. I know this man. This man does not speak in tongues. This man is brilliant
theology.
He is a member of the VET. I mean, I don't have a bunch of dummy O's coming out to the VET. No, that's why whenever you come in the discourses and you do that, I'm able to respond. Yes, go ahead. I'll give you.
Well, go to the next call. I don't want to.
All right, well, let's go into the next call. Vince, he didn't want to respond to you, brother, man.
Because I don't even remember what he asked me.
All right, we're going to go to the next call and say hello to Mario from East L.A. Hello, Brother Mario.
How you doing, Brother John?
I'm doing all right. Talk to us tonight, brother.
Well, I just had a comment in regards to the man who's speaking with you. What's his name?
Mr. Jesse Peterson of the Jesse Peterson Show.
Right. You know, I just had a comment in regards to how he was saying that if a man is ordained, he does not need to seek an education, especially if he's been ordained for God. Well, like you said, he does not have to go get an education, but it is necessary for a Christian to seek knowledge. You can't be ignorant about some things. You just can't, because that's how even Jesus said, you err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. We have to seek knowledge. It's not going to happen that everything comes to you, like you're saying, Brother John, as osmosis. We have to put some effort.
Everything requires effort
in Christian life. God will not give you anything if you don't do no effort.
Okay, Mario, let him talk.
Mario, let me respond.
Okay.
I said that if you are called by God, you don't have to go to one of these schools to be taught, because if God has called you, He's going to guide you.
Do you believe in buying books? Let me respond to him.
I just want to respond.
You're saying the same thing, Jesse.
Let me just say to him, but if you want to go and get an education, a worldly education, you want to learn how to build a house or build a doctor, then you should go to school.
But
there's a difference between called by God and going to school to get an education.
So therefore you're saying, hey, Mario, thanks for the call, brother.
All right,
God bless you, man. Listen, Jesse, what you're trying to imply is that the Christian community is listening to you and you're learning that we're not just a bunch of Bible-thumping, tongue-speaking, backwards-thinking ignorant folk in South Central that have shut our brains down.
Not just South Central, it's all over. It's everywhere.
You have...
I mean, it's in the white churches, too.
Mr. Man, wait a minute. Name me one that's like that.
I used to listen to this guy out of Dallas. He's a good friend of Fred Price.
Oh, man, don't even talk about these word faith things, man, because those folks are, man, please listen. Listen. I would appreciate if no one would mention word faith in the same category as bibliocentric Christianity, because it's not. In the first place, God's not concerned whether you have a steak or have some cornflakes.
You know,
right? And second place, he's not concerned whether you're on welfare or this fair or that fair. And I agree with you, Jesse. I think that we need to get a job and get a life and get off the dole.
Yeah.
I'm in total agreement with you. You know, I figure that too many of our folk are on the dole for generation after generation. But I also believe that that's just a ploy by the higher powers that be in human form to keep us enslaved to that kind of tyrannical process.
And that's what the preachers are doing with the Bible. They're doing it with the church.
What about it? You paint it with a broad stroke again. I don't do that.
Well, not all.
Preacher.
Not all.
Well, man, you got to look. All
there's
the man
so
can
many.
Do on your show is to qualify, not
well,
all. Jesse.
Let me just say this to you.
All right.
The most important thing that I want people to know tonight is that the word is in their heart. And as long as they're running up and down the street and trying to find it in the church, and as long as they're looking everywhere but within themselves,
right.
They're not going to find it. They can go to school until they're black and blue in the face,
okay.
And they're still going to have conflict.
All right. Well, Jesse, you got a friend right here because Robert's calling from Glendale, and he agrees with your point. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. I just I wanted to thank a white boy up here in Glendale. I wanted to thank you so much for your show.
It don't make me no never mind. You can call.
Yeah, good, good. Hey, I just wanted to agree with Mr. Peterson there.
That sounds kind of weird.
But yeah. But I do agree that education is an important thing, and that for some people it is extremely useful. My point comes out of Galatians, though, talking about Paul after his conversions, Galatians 1.
Yes.
And there's two real quick verses. I'll be real quick.
Yes.
Starting at 11. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Then he goes over to 16. I did not consult any man. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and then later returned to Damascus.
All right. Well, before you give your exegetical approach to that, I would really appreciate time to respond.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's 20 minutes before the hour, and I do want to let folk know where our church is located, so I'm going to put you on hold, brother, so you hold on. My friends, you're listening to the Olivet Discourses here live on KKLA 99.5 FM. We're 40 minutes into the first hour. In studio radio guest, Brother Jesse Peterson from BOND, Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. He has some difficulties with us Christians in our educational dialogue. And let's see if this brother from Glendale can back up his point. We'll be back shortly.
Day by day, our cities and communities are crumbling. It's evident from the news headlines. High murder rate, job layoffs. How about the consequence of single-parent homes? What would cause a great society like ours to veer off the road of success? Could it be that America has moved into the same mindset that caused previous superpowers to fall from their high place? Maybe it comes down to one particular act. Rebelling against, or ignoring, the relationship they had with God, the Creator. But wait, all is not lost. What about the Christians? What part do they play in preventing the gradual slide into oblivion? That's what the Olivet Discourses with Pastor John Coleman is all about. You'll be trained in biblical precepts that might make someone change the way they think and live. We do that by challenging you every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to midnight. The biblical discussions that make you question your knowledge of the Bible and how you apply its principles to your life. If this Bible-based program contributes to your spiritual growth, consider supporting us so that we can stay on the air. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? are you starting to see some compromise in the place where you worship? Do you know the scriptures well enough to see when the standard is not being followed? Well, study with us, and soon you'll see that the Olivet Discourses is the biblical alternative.
And welcome back to the Olivet Discourses. This is Pastor John Coleman. You're listening to us live here on KKLA 99.5 FM. Thank you for calling. All the lines are burning off the hook. And let's go back to, I believe that was line, that was the Galatians text, line 3. All right, my brother, are you still there?
I'm here with you.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Now, let me respond to this first of all, because when you start with verse 11, for I would have you to know, brethren, that the gospel was, you know, not according to man. And then he says, but through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There was no scripture.
Mm-hmm.
This is God revealing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to have this beloved man write the text of scripture in which he was doing. And also he was arguing to the church at Galatia towards his apostleship, because he was not one of the original 12. And so Paul is giving this discourse because constantly he was accused of Pauline, quote-unquote, doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you study historically why he made these statements, you would see that when he says in verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia, he was qualifying his apostleship. And the justification of that qualification of his apostleship is seen with what he did in the first century in the churches that he was instrumental in getting started, just the same as Peter and James and John. And so I think that if we look at the scriptures contextually, we can argue only contextually what his argument is. And we cannot say, you see, since he got his from the revelation of God, God does that today. And that also, if you take that view, you are saying that revelation has not ceased with the closing of Scripture. And I have a tremendous difficulty with that.
True.
Because if you say that, then God is still speaking through any instrument, even another jackass, if he chose.
But you know, the whole problem with this
is
that this reminds me of when Jesus Christ was here and he would go around with these preachers to the synagogues and things like that, and he'll just arguing over the scriptures. No one really knew it. Everybody tried to prove that they were right, and no one knew God.
I didn't know they were doing
that.
I didn't know that they were doing that.
That's what we have today.
I know, but let me finish. No.
We have everybody that's tied up in the Bible. That was an untruth. They all studied the scriptures.
That was a lie.
They all studied the scriptures and tried to prove who
was
right.
That was a bald-faced lie.
My major point, I understand what you're saying about contextually, and he was proving a point about his apostleship.
Thank you.
But he did have Moses' law. Now, I don't disagree with you at all, and also about new revelation coming through people today.
Thank you.
True. But what happens now is I believe that seminary, that education is useful.
Yes.
But if you do not have the resources, or yes, you can get them through certain ways, whatever,
right,
to go to a seminary,
right,
we have the book in front of us here.
Absolutely.
And the Holy Spirit
to guide us
in that.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was going to ask Mr. Peterson, did he believe in buying theological books and doing the study himself? You don't have to go to school to get it. At least be an astute student of the Word of God. I believe that Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, be diligent to show yourself a workman, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
That's right.
This is a commendation to any man of the word of God.
Hi, Chance.
Brother, thank you for your call.
Hey, thanks, you guys. Keep going. Right. You're even getting us up here in Glendale, so keep it going.
All right, brother.
I'm praying for you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
To answer your question about if I buy the books like that, I'm a man that is seeking after the truth.
All right.
And so I love to read the life of other men who have gone before me, and who are even some that now that are on that right path. I like reading that. I like reading the Bible sometimes. But I have discovered that the Word of God is in my heart and not in the Bible.
Okay.
The Word of the Bible is the Word from God, but the Word is in our heart. And so everybody, the only thing that the Bible does is tell you where to look and tell you to look within yourself.
Yes.
That the kingdom of heaven is within us, and everybody is looking at the Bible thinking that it's there. They believe in the Bible.
As long as they believe in the Bible,
they're not going to ever find God.
Okay, Jesse, and let me respond to that by saying you're entitled to your opinion. I think it's hogwash. Let's go to line 5 and say hello to Clinton in Los Angeles. Hello, Clinton.
Hello, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. The first thing I want you, please excuse my language, but you student preachers to do is thank the Lord for the Bible. Because I think that all of us, not just the preachers that have studied the Bible in school or wherever, we need to put down the Bible for a minute and live everyday life, you know, and try to work through that way.
Yeah.
Through knowing how to work through it through our own selves, not through what has been taught through the Bible way. I mean, okay. I'm not saying that nothing is wrong with the Bible, because I've never got into reading it, but
what?
But I just feel more stable with myself of living everyday life the right way, trying to live it the
right
way.
All right. Well, Clinton, for the Christian mindset, the Bible is the Word of God. Martin Luther, the famous theologue of old, as
right.
matter of fact,
the
daughter
people,
of the Reformation.
Look how people take the perception. I mean, so many people have their different perception of the Bible.
Well, we are not talking about Clinton, we are not talking about unregenerate individuals who have an opinion about God's Word. I was speaking about the great reformer. Martin Luther had a theme, and it was called Sola Scripture, Scripture alone. And so I'm saying that in order to say that I have a high regard for God, but a low regard for His Word, puts me into a quandary here.
But the Bible is not the Word of God. The Word of God is in your heart.
Well, I'm telling
the Bible
you that
the
if
word,
you had a heart transplant,
it's like someone gave
it's
you
the
a second
word
button.
That you have is what people have taught you.
Only one of us can talk at a time. Clinton, thanks for your call, brother. I really appreciate it. Listen,
thank you,
man. Listen, let me share this with you. Jesse, if you had a pig's heart in your chest, would the Word of God dwell in your pig's heart? See, that's why you got to be careful of the word
heart.
Listen, man, you said
you
that the word of God is in your heart.
And you're saying that it's not?
Just a second.
Are you saying that it's not?
I want you to answer this question. If you had a heart of a horse in your chest.
But I don't, though.
Wait a minute. You said that the word of God is in your heart. Now let's philosophically look at this. Where in your heart is the word of God?
Within the soul of my belly, where the Holy Spirit
dwells. Just a second, brother. Hold it. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the soul of your belly, what if you had cancer and they cut it out? Then where would He dwell?
It would still be there.
Where is there if you
it's
have
within
no...
within me.
Where is there within you?
I just told you.
Listen.
I don't understand what point you're trying to make. How can you... Are you saying that...
I think you folk that listen to Pastor John and the Discourses know exactly what point I'm making. When you make a statement...
Let me ask you this then.
No.
If it's not there and it's in the Bible, why no one is changing? Everybody and their mama read the Bible and know it upside down.
Let me
yet.
Answer this
They're
question.
Not changing. Why is that?
There are many people
why
that
are they
read
changing?
The yellow pages and they still don't make the
I
right
I bet you you can't show me one person that knows that Bible inside out that is having a good life. You
yes.
can't show me one.
Yes, I can.
They don't have peace.
Yes, I,
their
yes,
family
I can.
Screwed
yes,
up.
I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Me.
I guarantee you
me.
Not.
Me.
If you're in that Bible, you don't have peace.
Amen. I have peace.
Not if you're in that Bible.
No, I have peace.
Not if you're in that Bible. You
I am in this book.
If you should lay that Bible down for a minute, you would go crazy.
No, I'm not.
I'm because you're
watch
famous.
This. Watch this. I just threw the Bible in the
your
corner
faith,
of the studio.
Your faith
wait,
is in the Bible and not in God.
Wait, just a second. I just have to tell the radio audience. I just took the Word of God and threw it on the ground here in the studio. I just threw that book on the ground right now.
Why do you think
just,
me and us still weak that know the Bible?
Just a second, Jesse. I don't need that book in my hand to know that God is real. And that's the problem.
That's my point.
Just a second, brother. I just threw that Bible over there, and I haven't sinned against God or nothing. There are many so-called preachers in my community says, man, you committed sacrilege. If I would, I can't do it because I'd have to move away from the mic. I'd get on and stand on it. It still wouldn't hurt the Word of God. Now, I agree with you. The Word of God is to dwell in our hearts.
It is there, too.
Now, just a second. But how can the Word of God dwell in your heart if you don't even know what's in the book? That is putting a premium on ignorance, which I will not do. Line 6, we're going to say hello to Mark from South Central. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Pastor John. I would just like to comment on the gentleman's fallacious argument that our community is in trouble because there's too many educated preachers. It's contrary to that. The reason that it's in trouble because there's too many uneducated ministers who are just given any kind of interpretation of the word. That's
right.
Why the community's in trouble, not because they're too educated.
That's not, let me tell you this. The reason that your community is in trouble is because there are no good fathers in the home. Man is supposed to be the head of his family, and when that fails, the whole household fails, you grow up screwed up. The preachers are waiting for you to come out because they already know that you're weak, and they're using the Bible to take advantage of you. That's why we're screwed up in the community.
They're weak as well. They're weak,
right.
They're weak in presenting the Word. They don't know the Word. If you go through some of these churches and hear some of these sermons, it's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous. If people came to the true knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the family situation, all that would be resolved behind the Word and God's power.
And so do you think that if man is called by God, he needs to go to school too?
God is sovereign. He can do whatever he saw.
No, that's what I want to ask you. Do you think a man needs to go to school if he's called by God?
He doesn't need to.
Well, why does he then?
God can also heal.
He can choose to go wherever he want to go, Jeff.
Look, I haven't chosen to go.
What about you, man?
God is guiding me every day, all the time.
You want to remain ignorant, remain ignorant, man.
If he called me, how am I going to be there?
Listen, God says, Mark, let me handle this just for a second, my brother, but hang on the line. Look, if you want to remain ignorant, you remain ignorant.
But then you said that God can't teach me?
No. Listen, this is all Mark
said that God can't teach me?
Mark is saying that he is offended by your language.
That's because Mark is blind. He can't see. Are you saying that God...
Dr. John, can I deal with that?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I had a grandfather that was blind. 50 years of ordained minister.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're spiritually blind.
Read in the Word. I'm not blind. It's more than obvious that you have been blind. You can't see what's obviously before your eyes, and you have your sight.
Oh, Jesse, this is the Olivet Discourses, man. This is no South Central talk show where folks' brains have gone dead. That's why I ask you on, Mr. Peterson, because what you're doing is you are making broad, sweeping statements about a general community that is not like that.
Let me just say this to you.
Please, sir.
This guy's not saying anything any differently than the rest of the preachers or the churches are saying.
He's not a preacher.
I'm just saying he's not saying anything any differently. What they're saying, you got to study the Bible, you got to go to school, you got to do this, and all that stuff is a lie.
No, that is called Christian discipline.
What people don't know is that the Holy Spirit dwells within us,
Jesse,
and the Holy Spirit will teach us all
talking.
Things.
You're out talking.
The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Not another man.
Let him talk. Mark, please.
If I remember correctly, he was the one that said Christians don't let other people talk. But
you got him.
The Holy Spirit, God is sovereign. He can do whatever he chooses. That includes healing, but he does not choose necessarily to give everybody that. And that's why we train ourselves.
To give everybody what?
Healing.
Healing. God can heal, but he doesn't always choose to do so.
Why is that?
Doctors to go to.
Why is that?
Excuse me?
Why is that?
God is sovereign. He can do...
Well, why would he choose not to?
Because he's God, Jesse.
But if God promised you...
He didn't promise you anything.
If God said that he can heal you...
You are trapped in word... No.
Hold on, let me say this.
Brother, you are trapped in word faith.
I haven't said the word like that.
God has not... Listen, man, since you've been in that ministry, see, man, you brought some of that garbage out with you. God has never promised to heal everybody. Now, if you know anything exegetically about the Scripture, you know that's true.
I would like for this guy to tell me, why would God decide not to heal someone?
He's not God. He can't answer that question. But go ahead, Mark.
You know, I want to make one final comment.
Please, sir.
speaking of somebody who has not studied, they wrote a Bible, neither can speak Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic, and they wrote a Bible in our community.
Right.
And I think we all know the name of that church. And that's
that?
A perfect example of lack of education, what it will do.
Well, Mark, thank you for that comment, and I think with that, you hit it right on the head. Thanks, brother. We're going to take the next call. Let's see. This must be Raymond from Los Angeles. Hello, Raymond.
Hello there.
Hi.
You got a very interesting show tonight.
Well, Jesse makes everything interesting, I'm telling you.
I think this gentleman you have on, you're making a lot of good points. Jesus did say the kingdom of heaven is within. And
would you mind telling the radio audience exactly what he meant by that?
I think what he meant is that...
And who is he talking to when he said it, and what was the implication of his words to his audience?
I think what he was talking
you
about...
You think or you know?
Let him answer you.
You want to let me talk?
Yeah.
I want you to define what you're saying.
But you won't be quiet.
It's called a discourse, right?
But you
need to listen and be quiet and listen to the
man, you're talking about what you think, and my audience are intelligent people. They don't want to know what you think. They want to know what you know.
Yeah, you sound very rude for a preacher.
I know it, because I don't like people playing with me. What do you know about what he said about that scripture?
Is that the way a man of God is supposed to act?
I'm going
to
show you exactly how I act, and I'm going to say goodnight, my friend. Don't question me on this show. I told you to tell me what you know, not what you think. I'm not concerned about what you think. When we talk about God's Word, it is only the absolute truth in His Word. Now, let me answer you, since you would not answer my radio audience. Don't you dare ever call here and question my authority with the Word of God. And that's what's wrong with you people now. You picking up your ideas and going wherever you want to go, you will not do that with a true man of God. No, I'm not even going to answer your question because you're out of your mind. Let's go to the next call and say hello to Jack from Downey. Hello, Jack.
Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
Well, I want to tell you what I know.
Thank you.
According to Galatians 1 and 12,
yes.
The gospel that Paul received, it wasn't from Ananias. He didn't receive any Christian education. And I don't understand why that man can say he went to Dallas Seminary and come up with that argument.
Okay, he didn't come up with that argument because there was no Christian education then, my friend.
Wait a minute.
I'm waiting.
There was Paul, the gospel he received, if you read Galatians 1.
Yes.
I think everybody out there ought to read it before they go to bed tonight.
Yep.
He didn't just receive some story from the 12.
No.
He received it directly from the risen Jesus.
And so therefore, Jack, you're saying that revelation still takes place like that in our lives today.
No, it doesn't. What I'm saying is the caller used an argument that was in favor of Jesse. What he should have said was...
Well, it all depends upon if you want to interpret it that way. I think that what he did is he qualified by saying that Jesse was a little out of his mind by making the implication that you don't have to be educated.
Well,
that's all the caller was saying.
I think he is too, Jesse.
He's here.
I think the caller should have gave you the example of Jesus and the 12 disciples.
Let me ask you this, sir. Do you believe in the Bible?
Yes, I do.
Why?
There you go. See,
because it's worked in my life in practical ways.
How has the Bible worked in your life?
Jack, you bit the bullet. Jack, we got to go because we got to take a commercial break right here. We're up to the 11 o'clock hour. I'm sorry. And listen, listeners to the discourses, Jesse is an artful person at doing that. He will dig a hole and make you fall in it, and that's why he has the Jesse Peterson show. But he's on with Pastor John on the discourses.
Who won't let me talk. We will not let me.
We'll be back after we take care of a little business. Y'all hanging there now.